Let's pray. Jesus, it's a glorious day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the weather, even when it's a bit rainy and wetter than we'd like. We thank you. We know there's a purpose and a plan for that. We thank you, God, for every good gift, especially the gift of salvation through Jesus. And Lord, many of us in this room who got to enjoy VBS this week are so thankful for these kids, for their faith, for the word that you planted in their hearts and how they received that, how they embraced the word, the message, and you. And so I pray, Lord, as we end our week of VBS now, that you bring glory to yourself and you cement in our hearts all these ideas that you shared with the kids this week. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, how many of you like to go to the beach? Anybody like to go to the beach? Yeah. Confess that? Yeah. Oh, all right. There's a bus out there. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to the beach. Well, how many of you like to go visit mountains? Anybody ever, do you like to go mountains? Like hiking? Yeah. Mountains. How about big cities? Does anybody like the big city? Some big city people? Tall buildings, cool architecture, lots of fun stuff to do. Listen, what if you had your choice? What if you had your choice to live in the perfect spot? Your favorite spot, day after day after day, no ending. What if you could be in that perfect place every single day? On the beach, or maybe instead of on the beach, how about on the ocean, on a boathouse? Or maybe if you could live in a cabin at the foot of some majestic mountains. Now that would be great. How many of you would like to live at the foot of the mountains? That would be beautiful, wouldn't it? Wake up every day to see how the majestic beauty and the glory, you know, and don't worry about, you know, the rocks rolling down and crushing your house. No, you know, but still. What if everything you could possibly ever want was right at your fingertips, day in, day out? Nothing but peace and quiet. Kids that weren't crying. Fantastic food. Kids that weren't crying. No, just kidding. No, just kidding. And perfect sunsets every day. Would you ever want to leave a place like that? What if you were able to have that, but you were never able to see the people you loved again? Your children, your grandchildren, friends, family. Now, I assume your spouse would go with you so you wouldn't miss her or him. But the answer is no. My guess is that all of us would sacrifice what makes us comfortable or what we enjoy most or what we want most for the sake of those that we love. And that's exactly what Ruth did. We learned about her this week. Ruth's story is amazing. God used Ruth, this Moabite woman. She was not an Israelite. She was not a Jew. God used this Moabite woman to fulfill his plan to redeem all of us in this room. Do you realize we have a debt of gratitude to this woman? That our stories are linked all the way back thousands of years back to this woman and the choice that she made. And you can check out the whole story in the book of Ruth. Today we're going to look at verse 16 of chapter 1. This is what Ruth said to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Said, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." You see, Ruth's husband died, and she chose to leave her people, her culture, her language, her family, and her comfortable surroundings. Why? Why did Ruth do this? Because she loved Naomi. Now, do you know who else gave up their comfort to be with us? It was King Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus Christ left heaven's glory to share in our poverty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And Paul said this in Philippians 2. He said, Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human. Jesus chose poverty over riches. Jesus chose humility over glory for us because he loves us so much. We have a great friend in Jesus, don't we? What a great friend. Well, this week, let's get this ready. Okay, these bag of donuts. This week, I thought it would be a lot of fun. This week, we had donuts all week for snack, okay? And, huh? Yes, we had donuts all week. Who liked the chocolate best? Anybody like the chocolate best? Kids, you like the chocolate best? No? How about the sugar donuts? Who liked the sugar donuts best? That was your favorite? Well, you know what? My favorite's cinnamon, and since I got a choice, I got cinnamon. Okay. If you don't like cinnamon, too bad. Anyway, here. I want to eat it myself. But okay, and I'll get to that in a minute. This will only add about 30 minutes to the sermon by the time I eat all these. Anyway, on Tuesday, where's Eli at? There's Eli. On Tuesday, I thought it would be fun to challenge Eli to a contest. How many donuts can you stuff in your mouth at once? My first attempt was one. His was a half, so the contest did not last very long. And I did win. Thank you. Now, would you like to see this contest replayed right now? That's why I brought the donuts. You would? Okay, so here's the first one, all right? I'm not going to put this in my mouth. Come on, you guys know that. All right. But what if I said I could do two? How many think I can do two? Okay, and don't say you got to prove it, Mel. I'll prove it after church, but not now. How about four? Think I can do four? I'm going to tell you something funny. I didn't mean to tell you this. When I first time I met one of Andrea's close friends. Okay, I'm not going to tell a story. She's not looking at me right, so. never mind, let's move on. Now she's smiling. I can't tell if I should tell the story or not. Maybe later. All right. I have a big mouth, okay, in more than one way. The first time I met her friend Lori, I had been next door at the IGA, and for some reason, remember, I'm 23, so I'm really kind of stupid. I'm 23, I'm at the IGA, and I'm getting some red grapes, because I loved red grapes, and I'm sitting in the car just putting them in my mouth and thinking, huh, I wonder how many I can fit in here. I got so many grapes in my mouth that I couldn't chew. That's when I knocked on the door, and her friend answered the door going, what the heck? He's your boyfriend? Oh. Anyway, I had 38 grapes in my mouth, just for the record. Okay, I know, I am really getting way off target here, okay? So if I said I can fit 20 donuts in my mouth, you would say, prove it. Okay, I would start with one and two before I'd eventually have to spit them out. Okay. I'm not going to put 20 donuts in my mouth, but if I did, if I said I could put 20 donuts in my mouth, then I backed it up, you would all be shocked and in disbelief. Maybe you want to see that on video or imagine that this was made up, but in other words, backing up my claim that I could put 20 donuts in my mouth would inspire confidence. Well, I guess Mel can put a whole lot of things in his mouth. And this is exactly what Jesus did. We learned about Jesus and his friend Lazarus this week. In John chapter 11, we learned about Jesus' good friend Lazarus. Now, at first, if you look at John chapter 11, it's a really heartbreaking story. You see, Jesus' friend Lazarus was really sick, and his sister sent word to him and said, hey, Lazarus is really sick. It's bad. And you know, Jesus stayed where he was for a couple days rather than leaving immediately. And the Bible says Jesus chose to wait and to come back, but it was too late when he got there. Lazarus was already dead. And so when Jesus finally got there, he had this conversation with Lazarus' sister Martha. This is what it sounded like. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And she said, yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even after dying, will live. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha replied, yes, Lord. Do you know what Jesus did next? Now, many of you already know what Jesus did, but this is what he did. Jesus walked away and went to the tomb. And before the tomb, he prayed to his Father and our Father in heaven. And afterwards, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And if you saw the video earlier, Carter was playing Lazarus on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he was in the tomb right behind that door. I called him out. I was pretending to be Jesus. Doug called him out. You saw the video. And Lazarus walked right out of the tomb in his grave clothes. Martha believed Jesus had the power over life and death, and Jesus proved it when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Any doubts about Jesus' love and his power were put to an end right there. They were erased. Any doubt should have been erased at that moment. And as we look back and remember and reflect on this story, any doubts that we have should be erased as well. Jesus said it, he proved it, and we believe it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus sacrificed his comfort in heaven to come down and be with us. And he has proven that he loves us, and he's proven that he can be trusted because he has the power to do exactly what he said he would do. When he said, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you, we believe it. We trust him because he has the power to do exactly what he said. When he said, follow me and you will enjoy eternal life and you'll have life everlasting. And even though you die, you'll live forever. We believe it because he has power to do exactly what he said he would do. Now, you know what else we learned, what the kids learned this week about a good friend we have in Jesus? They learned this about Jesus, that Jesus loves to share. That the Bible teaches us as followers of him, of his, that we are to share as well. This week, the kids learned about Abraham. You guys remember Abraham? Way, way back in the Old Testament, right? If I do this, kids, are you with me? Carter was doing this all week. He either had a beard or there was something scratching his neck. I'm not sure which, but the whole week he would refer to this, and the kids would all say, this is Abraham. That's right. So this week we learned about Abraham. See, when God told Abraham to leave his comfortable home and his family, everybody spoke the same language, same culture. He said, you know what, I want you to go to a distant place. And he did not go by himself. Took his whole family and his nephew Lot. Now, both families grew so much that they were stepping all over each other. Do you guys remember that when you guys were all huddled in and walking around, stepping on each other? Any of you kids remember that? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you kids are not listening to me. Pay attention because you, all right, because you were there. I was there. I saw it. Both families grew so much, they're stepping all over each other. And finally, Abraham said to Lot, listen, we can't live like this. You pick a way. You go east, I'll go west. You go north, I'll go south. Let's find a place for us to go. But this is what Abraham did. He said, Lot, you choose where you want to go. And so he was willing to share. He was not being selfish. This is what makes Abraham, like Jesus, a great friend. In Philippians, Paul gave us a definition of what it means to be a good friend. Listen to this. Philippians 2, he says, listen, don't be selfish. Everybody repeat that. Don't be selfish, which means to share, right? Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Do you know what our best friend Jesus has shared with us? He has shared his glory. He has shared eternal life with us. He has given us heaven. He's given us peace and joy. And he's given us forgiveness. And probably the best gift that he has given us is His own Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, no longer dwells in temples. He dwells in the human heart. And so this great gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our heart, you know why this is the greatest gift? Because that means that He is always with us. He's always present right there. This makes it one of the greatest gifts. And for us to be with the one that we love and the one who loves us in return, that's a great gift. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you, maybe when you were young, and you don't want to admit it now because you're older, but do you remember imitating any of your friends? Anybody imitate any of your friends? Maybe to make fun of them? I don't know if you did this or not. Or if your friends did something, you know, if your friends, you know, your mom would say, you know, if your friends jumped off the house, would you jump off the house too? My answer was yes, because I did it often. But anyway, what if your friends jumped off a cliff, would you follow them off the cliff too? Anyway, I was only in sixth grade when this happened. But I was a brand new student at Mount Zion. And the other kids in math class, because I joined mid-season or mid-semester or whatever, the kids in Mr. Farrell's math class would throw wads of paper at the chalkboard every time he turned around to write. And, you know, of course, being the new kid, I wanted to impress. So I remember I'd been there 3 or 4 weeks, and I came from art class with a ball of clay. I probably don't even need to finish this story, do I? Do it anyway? Okay. Well, I was the new kid, and I sat right next to Susie Ducharme. And so one day I got this ball of clay, and all the guys knew that I brought this clay with me. And so they're whispering, you know, about 30 minutes into the class, and I'm pouring down in sweat. And I could not let the moment escape me, so I winged back and whoop, whap, just missed him too. He jumped, turned around, pretty darn angry. You know, he didn't look at anybody else. He looked at me and he said, "Mr. Workman, see you after class." And I thought, I'm thinking to myself, how did he know it was me? It's probably the sweat pouring down my face. But, you know, the other thing that's funny is no one laughed when I threw the clay, but people always laughed whenever wads of paper were thrown up there. The reality is the piece of paper didn't scare the daylights out of the teacher. So anyway, like I said, no one laughed. And I don't even remember what happened to me after that. Listen, this sermon is not about doing that, kids. Got that? Don't imitate the pastor when he was sixth grade and doing something stupid. Not even to impress some girl. Okay, but this is what the kids learned this week. They learned that being a good friend means setting a good example. Setting a good example for our friends and encouraging them to do what's right. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he's talking about his good friend Timothy. Now, you guys remember Timothy? He's on his knees, had his thumb in his mouth. Carter, good job as Timothy. Way to go. You know, the way you put your thumb in there. Where's Carter, by the way? Oh, he's way back there. Okay. We should have you demonstrate that. That was fun. No? Okay. All right. Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and asked them to follow Timothy's example and his teaching because Timothy had been such a good friend and he learned everything from Paul, his teacher and his leader. And this is what good friends do. It's what our very best friend does as well. Give us his example and his teaching. So do you know who our very best friend is? Kids, you know who our very best friend is? Jesus. That's God and Jesus. They're the same person, yes. Listen, this great friend of ours promised he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He came to earth to relate to us and live a life just like we did. He proved how much he loved us. He proved that he was trustworthy. He always shares and always sets a good example. And he forgives us for the messes that we create. Jesus, he is our best friend, isn't he? You know what else our best friend has done for us? He has forgiven us for our sins. Jesus' best friend, John, wrote this. "My children, I am writing to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, you have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, not only our sins, but all the sins in the world. Jesus is a great friend. Okay, all these benefits we have in relationship with Jesus, they come only if we decide that we want to follow him. So the question is, what are you going to do about this offer of friendship with Jesus? What do you want with Jesus? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the good gifts you've given us, especially dying on the cross for our sins and giving us hope for eternal life. Lord, bring glory to yourself by pressing this truth about your love, your trustworthiness, your grace, your forgiveness. Press that deep within our hearts that it becomes a foundation stone for our lives, that we might honor you and please you and live for you. Please, Lord, we beg that in Jesus' name. Amen.